Welcome to Pet Sitter Confessional. Today, we're brought to you by Time to Pet and Pet Perennials. What makes you different in your business and your personal life? Do you understand how that has been shaped and molded over time, both intentionally and unintentionally? Today, we are really excited to have Kirsten Kruska, owner of Pet and Plant Pal, on the show to talk about what it means to understand yourself, how to set yourself apart and embrace that difference. She shares how she goes with the ebbs and flows of her business and recreates not just herself, but the business practices that are necessary to meet her clients' needs. Let's get started.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pet and Plant Pal in Louisville, Kentucky. My business is, business itself is fairly new. I just established business in the summer of 22 is when I officially launched the business, this version of the business. Although I have been in the pet industry in this area for well over 25 years as a dog groomer, professional equestrian, horseback riding instructor. So I have had quite a number of roles in the pet industry before this version of myself came together. I had been grooming dogs professionally for about 12 years, alongside of doing some other ventures. And as many people know, grooming dogs is extremely hard on the butt. Well, I developed, of course, a very severe wrist injury, and being a single person, having my own house, I wasn't really able to take the time off to recover from that injury. So for about a year, I kept having my wrists injected. And of course, that comes along with some extra damage. And so by the spring of 21, I was looking at having surgery on both of my hands. Supposed to be off for about 3 months, having bilateral hand surgery. And it didn't really kind of go as planned. 3 months turned into 6 months. 6 months turned into a year. And at that point, we decided, the doctors and what have you, that I was going to have to medically retire from dog grooming. So I am, I guess when this happened, I was 47. I said, okay, well, I'm 47 now. How do I, what do I do with myself? I went through a horseback riding career and a dog grooming career. Both ended due to injury. So how do I repackage my skills that, you know, I can make a sustainable living for myself? So I tried to think of my best, most marketable qualities and package them up. And that is how I came up with Pet and Plant Pal.
Were you ever worried at all, Kirsten, about re-injuring yourself? Because while you might not be doing the grooming, you know, there's still a physicality to this kind of work.
There is a physicality. So fortunately, I am very fit. I am an avid gym goer. I hit the gym 5 days a week. I did my due diligence in physical therapy. And I, for my age, I would like to think I'm one of the even fitter people in the entire gym, even, you know, people half my age. So I have a real strong commitment to physical fitness. My problem is they had to release the nerves in my hand. in my hand. So half of my hands are numb. So wow. It's not even so much about the weakness as that for doing dog grooming, you know, you really have to be able to feel with your hand. And for me, that's really compromised. I can't hold the vibrating equipment for extended amounts of time. So, but walking dogs, leading horses, scooping cat litter. And then, of course, part of the biggest bit of this business, marketing. That's, you know, that's not so strenuous on the wrist, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you mentioned a couple times about repackaging, reinventing, you know, version of myself. And I think that's a really cool way to put this. As you look at what you have, what skill sets you have, how you envision yourself moving forward, and then kind of going like, how do I get there, and how do I make this work for me?
Yeah, and what is it that I can offer my community? You know, because it's important to me that I'm of service to others. And yeah. So where my strongest point, like, you know, what do people call me about when they need help? I get phone calls, I get pet questions, and I get plant questions. So that is how I came up with Pet and Plant Pal. Because yep. When people need help with their pets and plants, you know, that's I'm the person they usually reach out to.
Well, I was curious about that plant part, because, you know, I've heard a lot of sayings of, you know, like, you know, pets are the new kids and plants yeah. are the new pets. And I don't know about all that, but I do know that people have a lot of extensive plant collections and they're very passionate about yes. keeping them healthy and well. So how does that service work, right? Do they have to have a pet in the home, or will you take care of people's?
I am also a, certified horticulturist. When I was younger, I worked in the horticulture field, and I did commercial tropical interior scapes. So I would go and service great big huge office buildings, shopping malls, restaurants, and I would design. And then also we worked at maintenance for people to come in and make. So when you go, or you see that those in airports, fancy hotels. So I used to work in a business that did that at a large commercial level. So I have all these other fantastic certifications.
That's so cool, Kirsten. That's really cool.
So no, I do have people that this winter I had a client is a traveling medical professional, and she had some houseplants and was going to be gone for about 4 months. And so I come in there, I meter them, I water they're metered, watered, everything's kind of recorded, they're cleaned. So similar to the way a pet client gets a care journal for their dogs or cats, my plant clients get the same for their
clients. To me, that's a lot of, I mean, that's a lot of background that you bring to that. I don't imagine there are too many people asking for those specific things, or do you find that they know kind of what exactly they're looking for, or are they pleasantly surprised by what you bring to the table?
With the plants, I have been just sought out specifically for that.
Yeah.
And that does actually give me some flexibility with my service area. So I can, if it's just a house plant client, I can, you know, I have to keep my service area quite so tight as I do with pets. Because it doesn't really matter what time you show up, or if, you know, it's something that can be slightly flexible. And then of course I have the clients that are, and a lot, you know, a lot of people that love pets love plants too. And, you know, so that's also part of, yeah, what I sell, my brand is I'm your pet and plant pal.
Well, and I know you also focus a lot on education, right? That's pretty central to what you do about, mm-hmm. about plants and pets. Where does that desire come from to teach people?
Well, in this day and age, you know, we can't just trade our time for money, right? If we're doing straight hourly work, we're really not, it's really hard to build just a business if you're just, and part of what these days is really selling. And if I'm looking to actually build a sustainable business, you know, selling the education is a really big deal these days. You can't just, you know, sure, my time is worth X amount of money, but then how do I multiply that for a bigger vision, you know, as I look to expand my business? That one of my strong qualities is I feel like people really enjoy learning from.
So how does that look in a typical day with educating? Is that mostly educating existing clients on problems that they have, or is that in going out to the community and talking to them about how you can help them with those problems?
There's a multiple, I would say, or multi-pronged approach, I suppose. So, you know, I do offer grooming lessons.
Yes.
Excuse me. So now, while I can't, you know, put in 8 hours on my wrist or whatever, I can go for the person that's really dedicated that wants to learn to groom their own pet. And I've had other pet sitting professionals come to me, want to learn about grooming so that they can add it to their services. So the way my time really is structured, it vacillated between, like, in the summertime, I do a lot of outdoor gardening, I take care of this really big, beautiful Buddhist temple we have here. And I am lucky enough to have that as one of my, of course, I'm a member there and stuff like that, but they are also a client of mine. And so I'm super lucky to have that project. You were able to see it. It's quite spectacular. So in the summertime, of course, a lot of time is dedicated there. Yeah. Now in the wintertime, of course, I've been focused on, of course, getting out a lot of content, you know, getting out a lot of content. Doing teaching people how to groom. When it was Christmas time, running around all over the place, doing as many pet visits as I could fit in. So my time and responsibilities tend to be really flexible. Now, I do have a vision where I'm going to start to expand with some employees. So it's not so much about my time as it is this really wonderful program I designed for my clients.
Yeah. And it's about, I love how you talk about how the kind of the tasks and the needs change seasonally. Mm-hmm. And that when you have a business of, look, there's a summer business here. I've kind of got a fall transition into winter business here, and I got a springtime things. It really does help kind of even out a little bit, kind of average out over the year of going, okay, well, I'm not doing as many outdoor stuff in the winter, so I have got more time to take on more indoor things, right? And then kind of allow that flow throughout the year. And a lot of us, I think if we looked at what goes on in our business, we do have a seasonality or a pulse to what we do, and figuring out what services could I offer to accentuate that, or to even that out? What do my current clients need? How do I approach that? And really start to work out this multi-seasonality in our business so that we have more consistency in all that we do.
Absolutely.
Have you heard of Time to Pet? Dan from NYC Pooch has this to say.
Time to Pet has been a total game changer for us. It helped us streamline many aspects of our operation, from scheduling and communication to billing and customer management. We actually tested other pet sitting softwares in the past, but these other solutions were clunky and riddled with problems. Everything in Time to Pet has been so well thought out. It's intuitive, feature-rich, and it's always improving.
If you're looking for new pet sitting software, give Time to Pet a try. Listeners of our show can save 50% off your first 3 months by visiting timetopet.com/confession. You mentioned the Buddhist temple, Kirsten, and I know that is really core to your business, and you've based a lot of things on that. When I was learning more about you, I found that you have an eightfold path guarantee, and I really wanted you to dive into this because I think it's absolutely fascinating.
All right. So as I mentioned, I had that entire year of not really knowing what was going to happen with my future. Was I going to be able to return back to dog grooming? Was I going to have to find a new career? And in that amount of time, what I had done with that time was I focused specifically on Dharma study. So that meant I went to a couple different temples, studied a lot of Buddhist philosophy, studied with the monks, hours and hours of meditation. Like, if I couldn't get my outside right, I was going to get the inside right. So in that journey, we really see how the Buddha has this lovely prescription to end suffering, right? That is the Eightfold Path. You want to know how to end the suffering you experience in your life? The Buddha teaches these eight steps that lead to enlightenment. What this also is a moral and an ethical code. And since the path of the Buddha is so near and dear to me and really central to pretty much everything I do in my life, as I like to say, Buddhism is time-tested and scientifically proven. You know, it's so I really wanted my customers to get this sense of, you know, what is it that I am bringing that's different to your household? I am bringing this really deep sense of ethics that I truly believe in, compassion for all living beings, that I'm there mindfully, happily, patiently with their pets. So they can look and read that this Eightfold Path guarantee is an honest commitment to, like, putting some good into this world, putting some good into your house, because my core values, what I want to share with the world, is this feeling supported and cared for and loved. And like I said, compassion for all living beings. So the Eightfold Path guarantee just is a way they can, my clients or whoever comes on my website, sees how I mix business and ethical code and spirituality into my office.
I think that's really important to have a way to present that to clients, because it is hard to communicate that in a short snippet or something like that. Like, there's a lot of depth to that. Mm-hmm. It's an extremely personal thing. And at the end, it results in a very practical application. And I think mm-hmm. that's what's really important with that, of going, yeah, I'm there. I love, you know, when you said I'm there mindfully, I'm there patiently. Like, these are things, these are attributes that we all would like our clients to know about. And this kind of, this guarantee of going, this isn't just, I'm not just saying this because this is a slogan or a pithy way to market my business. This is a core belief and tenets of who I am as an individual. And right. I'm living that out in my business as well. And when you get me, you get me and who I am. Do you find that you have to, you know, explain this concept to very many clients, or do they ask questions?
No, you know, I feel like in general, people just kind of feel that from me anyways. Okay. And it's hard for me not to wisdom bomb someone within the first 20 minutes of meeting them. So it depends on their level of engagement or enthusiasm. You know, it's there for those who want it, and but it's certainly not something I'm trying to push on to anyone either. But I feel like as a general rule, people just feel that kind of stuff about me anyways.
Right. Well, and it's something that again, you can point back to, and I love, you know, just very simply, you have that on your website as under the what makes us different tab. And I think that's so wonderful that you present it in that way of a lot of us try and think of, how do I differentiate myself? How do I set myself apart? And what you did is you focused on core beliefs of yourself as an individual and going, it's me. It's who I am. It's not, you know, you could sit there and labor on about your background in groomer or trainer or, you know, the horticulturalist or all this stuff, but you focused on these personal beliefs of yours. And that's a genuine presentation of ourselves. And clients really do pick up on that.
Yeah, they really do. And, you know, and I feel like also it helps kind of attract the kind of client I want to work with as well. Because, you know, it's important to me that I'm working with someone that is taking great care of their pets, believes in speaking to others kindly. So also, on the other hand, it's also saying, hey, this is kind of what I'm expecting of you too. And yeah, I think the people that are maybe, I don't know, the tire kickers are out there looking for the discount, you know, that they're not going to look at that stuff. But the person that really values those things are going to be like, oh yeah, me too. And those are the people I want to help.
Right. Because if you have a tire kicker or somebody who's just trying to see what's out there, they hit this page, like, it's a lot to absorb. It's a lot to take in. And it really, I mean, it sets some high expectations, and it is a reminder. This is a reciprocal thing of, hey, I, as a company, this is how I'm going to treat you. And there is a reciprocity expected in this relationship, and that if you don't want to write, to a livelihood or to write care or to these things or write action, like, that's on them to kind of help filter out the kind of clients that are going to be interested in working with you if exactly. they are not also personally attracted to these as well.
Right.
And I was curious, because you do have in there about in your services, you work to prioritize the physical, emotional, and mental well-being. And I did want to know, Kirsten, how you work that out in your visits and when you're working with your clients.
Of course, as a business owner, anytime I go into a place, I look in and try to see, okay, what's the most efficient way I can cover all these different needs? What are the most important things this animal needs? They definitely need water. They definitely need their food. Is the animal happy? am I going in there and is that animal super stressed that I'm in there all the time? Or am I going in there with plenty of time where the animal can, you know, be chill and happy? So it's important that it's not, that the client really understands it's about taking the correct amount of time with, you know, whatever animal, whatever situation it is. And if it's a situation that, you know, where I feel like the animal's not being maintained properly, that gives me an out.
Well, you start out by going, I think that there is that unique way that you can approach visits there. There's the most efficient way, and then there's the most effective way, or the best way. I'll say that way. There's the most efficient, and then there's the best way. And sometimes they are mutually exclusive.
Right.
I have definitely been in the visits of going, there is a very efficient way to get this done, but it's going to mean putting the pet in a situation that they don't want to be in. It's going to mean damaging some relationships. It's going to be moving really fast and quickly here. So what actually is prioritizing the physical, emotional, mental well-being here is extending the visit or requesting more time from the client or working some other method here, and always knowing that I have a decision tree as a business owner that I have to work through, and going, at the end of this, when I'm actually doing the work, are these being prioritized? If not, I need to try another tactic.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to articulate that. Exactly.
And sometimes clients appreciate that, and sometimes they just don't understand. And so have you ever had to try and communicate that to a client of look, this isn't doing these things?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you know, I have been in the pet and horse industry 30 years now, probably professionally. There are just some times where what the client wants, particularly in grooming, what the client wants is not in the best interest of that animal. And you have to decide as a professional, it's like, am I going to partake in something that I think is inhumane because of a buck? Or am I going to be the advocate for this animal and say, this is not going down on my watch?
And that's key. And then we have to remind ourselves that when we're there, we're an advocate, and they can't speak to for themselves about what their needs are at that moment directly. We as the professional need to be there to tell the client what needs to take place, and have those morals, have those ethics, have those standards that we can point to and go, look, what you're asking doesn't meet these. And so either A, I'm not the person for you, or B, I have some advice. And then you can see if you want to listen to me or not.
Exactly. I mean, you can't force anyone to do what you think is right, but you can certainly choose to participate in it or not.
Yeah. That's really hard, Kirsten, as somebody who's like, it's because we have to make that decision again, like you said, of we have to choose whether we're going to participate in that level or not. And man, sometimes we've got bills due. Sometimes we're really slow. Sometimes we're really, you know, we need XYZ, or this maybe the worst one that comes up sometimes for us is like, oh, this is a really good community connection, right? And if they would just share my services to their friends, I'd be in the in crowd, and I could, there's so many little cuts that we can make to our integrity along that way of what we're willing to do to make things happen, that then we stop being true to who we are.
Yeah. I've been like this way for a very long time. What is meant for me is meant for me. Mm. What is not meant for me is not meant for me. So yeah, sometimes it is not meant for you or a situation to work out in a certain way, but it'll work out in a different way if you're true to yourself and your morals and what you think is honestly important.
Well, Kirsten, how do what advice would you give to somebody who's struggling to embrace that? Because I think that's a really healthy mentality of, look, if it's going to work out, it's going to work out. And I'm just going to know that whatever work I'm doing is the work that I need to be doing. And that's enough versus this always more, or, oh, I missed that opportunity, or, oh, I was, that was stolen from me, kind of, you know, feeling like this grudge against the universe, I guess.
Well, us Buddhists are very well trained in letting go. Letting go. It's all illusory anyways.
Yeah.
So and this is, I think, why everybody needs to learn to meditate. It makes it easier to let go of certain mental situations or situations that you're, my let go muscle is really, really strong. I honestly think it's through meditation. And you know, having to start your whole life or your whole business over at age of 47, yeah. You want to know what kind of a cliff dive that is. All you can do is let go and trust that the universe has got your back.
Well, what I hear from that too is that it takes practice, right? It's not something you just wake up one day and do, right? You said my muscle is well exercised, basically. And it starts with real little things.
It starts with the way us Buddhists train it is, you know, starting in very short meditation, how to let go of your thought, how to keep your mind concentrated on one object when all these other things keep popping up. And oddly, over time, it translates into this metacognition in your life to where you're able to see certain things a little more clearly, or if you can't see them clearly, you're able to let it go and trust that what needs to work out is gonna work out. So yeah, it's a muscle. You gotta start small. You can't go to the gym and lift the heaviest stuff right away. you start easy, small. That muscle will grow.
Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, having a support group and fellow people to go and speak to is also helpful to keep you accountable and voice some opinions and voice these frustrations. Cause I know for me, that's one way of that I can help let go of. I need to vocalize some things of I need to tell somebody else how frustrated I was in that moment. And then once it's out there, I can breathe. And so, right. And I can move on. I've said my piece to a pillow, right. Or to a wall. And now I can move somewhere else or have a listening ear that can, you know, sympathize with you too in those moments.
Yeah. And honestly, one of the best things I did was, right off the bat, I hired a, business coach. So I get some really incredible, feedback and guidance and planning as to how to grow this business. And of course, like the amazing emotional support you get when you hire wonderful people. Shout out to Shelly Beyer.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, and that's a step that can be yet another scary thing. Because now, of you know, going a business coach, and whether that's a pet care industry specific one or a financial coach or just a business coach, you know, more of a general thing, yeah. Or it's scary because now all of a sudden I'm going to somebody else who may tell me things that I'm not ready to hear. How did you, was that part of your letting it, you know, the let it go process, and you just embraced what they, you know, advice or, you know, kind of what was that process like?
She and I just connect really well anyways on many levels. So I trust her advice. I feel like she's really helped me establish some really wonderful things in this business I would have had no idea how to do, not to mention all the incredible marketing advice. And look, like I said, as of this time last year, I could barely write an email. If you have looked at my social media, it is on point. I've got great graphics. I've got great copy. You know, that's a lot to learn at my age in that short amount of time. And if it wasn't for her guidance and patience, who knows? Who knows?
Our friends at Pet Perennials make it easy to send a heartfelt condolence gift directly to someone with a broken heart. They have this awesome direct-to-consumer gift model that takes the effort off of us and ensures a thoughtful, personalized sympathy gift reaches your client or employee on your behalf. All gift packages include a handwritten card, colorful gift wrap, and shipping fees across both the U.S. and Canada. They also offer an array of milestone gifts and greeting cards that can be sent to celebrate birthdays, extend get-well wishes, and welcome new and rescued pets. Additionally, there are gift choices in case you need to send a sympathy gift in memory of a special human client or celebrate a pregnancy, engagement, or wedding of a pet lover. If you're interested, register for a free Business Gift Perks account to unlock the all-inclusive discounted package prices. Since the service is used on an as-need basis, there are no monthly or annual obligations or minimum purchases. Learn more at petperennials.com, check out their business programs, or register for a free gift perks account by using the link in the show notes. But it does, you start off saying, like, this takes a level of trust inherent in this person. And so to know, because I know a lot of people may ask, like, oh, how do you pick a coach, or how do you know who to work with? What are their skills? What are this? What is that? Was this? At the end of the day, it's, do you connect with the person and do you trust them? And that takes a level of getting to know them, following along with work, having some pre-conversations with them,
absolutely,
understanding how they can or maybe cannot help, and going, is that enough for me? And then do I actually like this person at the end of the day?
Well, and there's the pet sitting industry, there's a number of really dynamic, great coaches that offer some really good advice. So you're also got a lot, there's a lot of noise out there to say, like, who's going to help me take my vision in the direction that feels right for me?
Yeah, it can be a really scary time whenever you are, especially when whether you are new or whether you've been in the industry a while, when you go to look for help, it's really overwhelming. And it could be maybe help in your business, or maybe it's help with a particular training problem that you're having, or maybe it's help with taxes. Oh gosh, don't get me started with that.
But
it's,
it's
like anytime we go for help, we're very vulnerable in that, aren't we? As a person, of going, I'm admitting I'm at sometimes my wit's end.
Yeah.
and I'm looking for help and trying to be discerning and doing our due diligence in who we let in to help. But sometimes that can turn into nobody's good enough for me, and so I'm just never going to reach out for help.
Yeah, well, fortunately, I am very flexible, and I have had some really great teachers and professors and role models in my life. As well, as I mentioned, I used to ride horses professionally, so I've ridden under some Olympic trainers. And as we know, that can be some really tough advice to take when you're galloping a 2,000-pound horse at a 6-foot fence. They don't mince their words.
Well, and that's the other thing too. Kirsten, of sometimes the advice that we get is harsh, because if not heeded, there's a lot of danger on the other side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Like how you correct, you know, just think about with kids, like how you correct a kid who is, who is painting on the walls is very different than how you correct a kid that is running into a 6-lane highway. Right.
Because
exactly. The end result. and now in the moment, sometimes the correction, when we're the kid, it's like, oh, that was way overkill. I don't understand. Yeah. But also, again, trusting that the person can look ahead a little bit and going, you are going to some really bad places here.
Right.
You need to back way up.
Right. Well, and anytime you take anybody's advice, or nobody sees you for who you are, they see themselves as you. You know, I don't really see Colin. I see what I think is Colin from what little I know about you and the way you appear. So none of it's ever really personal advice because there's no real way to actually get that personal.
Oh, that's
sorry. Truth bomb.
No, it's so true. And that comes in the form of whether it's a coach giving us feedback or somebody else in the industry or even with clients too, it's a lot of times they are reacting to an interpretation of who we are. And so to understand that everybody's viewing us through a lens.
And
that I can't get too offended because they've got glasses on their face.
No objective way for me to really know you and no really objective way. So if you got to take a step back and say, this isn't necessarily personal. What's the lesson here? And how do I move forward from that, removing whatever, you know, I feel if I didn't like the tone or the way it made me felt because it was blame rather than praise, or it's all the same energy. You just have to understand how to apply it.
Yeah, that's what it is, right? Of how to apply it. And now it's that moment of decision of going, okay, now that I know what this person thinks, or now that I know this person's seeing, what's my responsibility with that at this point? What am I supposed to do with that? And going, well, there are a lot of different, I can get angry. I can go cry in the corner, which is what I personally, you know, want to do a lot of times. Like I just, hold on, just give me a minute. Do I breathe and recognize, or do I, you know, react? It goes, that's our responsibility in that moment of, look, they have said their piece, they have spoken, they have done the thing. I can't control what's coming out of their mouth. And now I have to go, okay, now it's up to me to make a decision with this.
Right. And not to go back to the meditation thing too much, but that is the beauty about just practicing meditation just a little bit in its smallest forms, is that in those moments when your nervous system is really charged or you've just heard something you didn't really like, you have that mental space to go, let me analyze this, rather than all of a sudden like jumping to whatever it is that your nervous system has just reacted to.
Well, and that mental space is so hard to do as a business owner because it's filled with the cacophony of to-do lists, noise, tasks, worries, frustrations. And we do get to that mental space where we, you know, I'd say a lot of times, like, I don't have the bandwidth to deal with this anymore. There's no more space. There's no more capacity for this. And so periodically doing that whatever, you know, that practice for you of going, I've got clutter in my brain. I need to do something with that.
Yeah.
I've got to take care of that, because if I can't be at 100% capacity today and take on new things or more things tomorrow, that just doesn't work.
Right.
So when you look to your ideal clients, I did notice that you had this, we talked about your grooming earlier of, you said your ideal clients, your ideal candidates for personal grooming are dedicated dog owners committed to routine grooming. And I was, I was curious, how do you screen for this?
it doesn't actually take me very long to figure out who's serious. Because a lot of people will say, oh, grooming lessons. And of course, that's your owners with those doodles. They're spending $200 on their haircuts all the time, and then they're getting mad at their groomers because they're not getting brushed in between and the groomers are shaving them. I don't want those customers, because they got kicked out of groom shops, be like, well, I can learn to groom my dog. No. No. I don't take clients that have been booted out of groom shops. You know, I just because grooming, you know, it's one thing if you want me to come over there and teach you how to efficiently give your husky a blowout at the self-wash, or, you know, what's the most efficient way to keep my little terrier from jumping out of the bathtub, and how do I safely do that? Or even to, I have had clients with doodles wanting to learn to do the whole haircut, but I was like, this goes in stages. You have to do the work in between. This isn't like a different excuse for me to come do grooming. This is for you to get better. And then also, grooming equipment is ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mind if I have someone that's kind of new and they don't have like all their stuff and they need help ordering or whatever. I don't mind sharing some of like my not so expensive stuff so they can, you know, feel what different things are like. But, you know, once I start kind of explaining to them the costs of scissors and clippers and they screen them. Well, the other part too is like, well, how long does that take? I'm like, well, how quickly do you learn? How, you know, we can be talking about 6 months worth of lessons. This isn't like, you're probably not going to learn how to, and I'm talking about the doodles and stuff like that, which of course where I get my biggest interest. Yeah. Of course, the like biggest like amount that I turn away too when they start understanding exactly what that entails.
Right. Well, it is that commitment, right? And you said, no, you've got to do the work in between, and that is a level of commitment that a lot of people don't understand. I mean, about grooming, about life in general. Of yeah. we can't just shortcut to the end. That's not how any of this works. No. If you wanted to shortcut, you need to, you know, go back to the groomer that you're spending a lot of money on, because right. that's what that's worth.
Yeah.
And knowing that, you know, I just love that idea of, well, I wasn't committed enough to keep brushing my dog so that they didn't have to shave them anymore, but yeah. I'm committed now to groom and go through this process. And it's like,
right.
But are you like, do you understand this? And we see that all the time with our clients who have dogs with separation anxiety or who have these other behavioral concerns, and, or even cats, you know, and going, oh, well, I thought I could contact you and you would just magically fix this.
Yeah. I don't have a magic wand. I can give you professional advice how to handle it. Like you would go to a gym trainer, you don't go to the gym trainer and say, okay, I want this like 20-year-old bod of a supermodel, but I'm a 50-year-old housewife that loves M&Ms. It's like you have to do the work.
Yeah, and helping and trying to get people to understand that, and it can be really frustrating, because I know we've had people contact us who, they sounded like they were such a good fit of, they wanted the service, they were, price wasn't the issue, but they were looking for a quick fix. And we can't do that. And I can't imagine how much more so whenever it comes to grooming.
So yeah, I try to make that really pretty clear in any time I publish something about it. And of course, because people see me, with the young lady that I did help with her real pretty sheep and doodles and their big fluffy heads. And so they see that and they think, oh, and that woman owns a pet sitting business and this is going to be part of her livelihood. So,
oh,
you know, that, so it's not, sometimes they'll see the picture and think, oh, that could be me with, in a short amount of time, not really understanding the full picture of what all gone into
yeah,
the photograph.
Well, and then that's where that education comes back in of, let me tell you why the process is the way it is. Let me walk you through the why there can't be shortcuts here. Let me, and that onus that becomes on us is on you when you are walking through that of going, I have to know this really well. I have to be able to assess where this person is. I have to have that conversations to know what their expectations are so I can walk them through the steps in an appropriate manner. And we can become frustrated when we don't take that upfront time to do that assessment of that person. And then we are left going, well, why didn't they choose me? Well, a lot of reasons, right? But it could have been that they weren't patient enough to come. Also getting back to your eightfold guarantee of going, hey, look, patiently is here. Patience is a big thing for us. If you can't be patient, this isn't going to work out.
It is always a two-way street in any time you deal with and then when you add the animals into the mix, it's more than a two-way street there,
because now we've got to make sure that we are focusing and prioritizing their mental,
because there are plenty of I've been in this industry long enough, there are some dogs just don't like me. You have that They just need to go to a different person. They might do fine. It wasn't anything I did wrong.
Yeah.
It wasn't any history the dog had with me. There sometimes they're just not energetic matches. And you also have to say, look, this is just not a good mix for either one of us. Sorry. Here's my recommendation.
And always following it up with that of, look, I might not be a good fit for whatever reason that is, but here's who I think maybe, and just being honest with them about that.
Yeah. And I always think that in the long run, you're going to come out looking professional. Some people don't like that medicine, but you're going to come out looking professional in the long run. When you say something is above your capacity, something is outside your scope of ability, it is better to say, I'm not capable of that. Here is who I think can handle it. But that is outside of the boundaries of what I can do.
I really agree that when we're honest with ourselves and our boundaries, clients pick up on that. Again, this genuine nature that we are purveying, we're being straightforward with them, we're being transparent in all that we do. And that's where trust can come back. And they may come back to you for other things because you were honest enough to say when you couldn't help them with that other.
Absolutely. I agree.
Kirsten, I want to thank you so much for your time and for sharing with us the importance of finding that mental space, letting things go, and embracing that not just we will evolve and change, but our lives around us do, and that we can either embrace that or fight it, and that's going to be where, and walking that line. There's a whole lot here, and I know that you've got a lot to share and educate on. So how can people best get connected with you and follow along with all the cool stuff that you're doing?
All right. Well, I would be super pleased to invite everyone over to my Facebook content. I work really hard to write some hopefully fun and informative stuff, and hopefully some cute reels as well. I am also on Instagram, but that's pretty much just the same copy of that. So my name is Kirsten Kruska, KirstenKruska. Or you can find me there at Pet and Plant Pal.
Kirsten, I really want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing with us and taking time out of your busy day. I genuinely appreciate it. And I'm very, very, very thankful.
Absolute pleasure, Colin. Thank you. All right. You have a great week.
What version of yourself are you creating for tomorrow? And what version of yourself are you living today? Our experiences, our trials, our struggles, our strengths all shape who we are and who we become. Part of our responsibility is then understanding how that actually impacts us. What can we mold? What do we have control over? And how do we become who we need to be to get the work done that we want to? Our other responsibility? Being part of the process intentionally and going along with the flow when we need to. We'd like to thank today's sponsors, Time to Pet and Pet Perennials, for making today's show possible. And we really want to thank you for listening. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll be back again soon. I'm